You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 68. I am your host, Buck, from therubberchickensblog.com, and I am joined by two guys who are currently tied for second in sacks on the Gamecock football team with zero. T-Bone and the G-Man, congratulations on that, guys, and welcome to the show.
Hey, I felt like I gave the best effort I could.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right up there. I think we had one sack. I think Sky Moore had a sack. We had a couple of other tackles for loss, but...
I thought Little G had one.
I thought...
He had a tackle for loss.
It was a quarterback, and I think he was passing, but maybe they didn't call it a sack. I don't know.
Maybe that's not called a sack anymore.
Regardless, I think you'd still be tied for second, wouldn't you? Or would that make you tied for third?
I think it'd make it tied for third.
Let's just say you're top five in sacks.
We're in the discussion.
Right. You are in the discussion. So I went and looked back at season openers over the years. First of all, this is the first season opener we've lost since 1999. I can't think of a worse season opening loss, and admittedly did zero research on this, so somebody can call me out if this is not correct, and it is just an opinion. But if you look at what was at stake, even though it was the first game of the year, first game ever on the SEC network, everybody in the world's watching, and just how thoroughly Texas A&M beat us, I just can't think of a worse loss, not just openers, but a worse loss period since the 2003 Clemson game.
Yeah.
When you put all the factors together, you know, I know we lost to Florida, what was it, 55-3 in 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. But
that didn't have the stakes.
And that was somehow not unexpected, you know, when they drummed us like that. That was the eventual national champion, I think. So what, any thoughts? I mean, have we felt this bad after a season opener ever?
No. This was your colossal egg-laying moment, you know, just laid a big egg. I mean, it just happened. I can't remember a worse opening day game ever I mean, I'm sure maybe there was one, but it's certainly in the deep recesses of my mind at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like 63-17. I mean, the reason it felt kind of like that is because, you know, that was more yards than we gave up in the 63-17 game.
Yeah, it was the most yards we've ever given up.
Right.
Yeah, so, but it felt like it because I remember in that game and in this one, you just knew they were going to get the first down. You knew they were going to score. I mean, there was times, no feeling
how many,
of
– yeah. Yeah. How many times was it third and one, second and two, you know? I mean, that first down.
Every time.
There was at some point in the first half where I was like, when are we – going to hold them to less than 5 yards on a first down. I mean, and they were, you know, credit to them, they were clicking all night long and ran everything to perfection. They seemed to have more energy. They were more prepared.
They had a chip on their shoulder. I think that 10.5 point spread got out of hand.
Yeah.
And I think it played right into their psyche.
And we looked out of it. We looked like we didn't want to be there. We looked a little afraid, to be honest with you.
And tell me, G-Man, because you were actually there.
Right.
Did you feel that?
Don't remind me, but yes.
Did you feel that from the team early?
Not early, but it just, to me, the defense just looked tentative. Just, I mean, it's just kind of hard to put your finger on it, but they just look very afraid almost.
I've got some thoughts on that because, Buck, you've actually coached defense in your history.
Yes. Not quite at a collegiate level, but I have coached
actual live football defense.
Right.
What happens when you're making the guys think too much?
they don't react.
They don't react. And what does that make them look?
Tentative.
It makes them look tentative, and it makes them look slow.
Slow.
And
well,
I think
there was
that's what's going on.
There were more palms in the air. I saw Bryson Williams multiple times motioning no over there, you know, right. waving at guys. There were guys that didn't know where to go, didn't know where to line up. Texas A&M was four wides almost all night long.
Step one to fixing what's wrong. Step one, Bryson Williams needs to go back to safety and be the quarterback back there.
I don't have a problem with that at all. I think
that you got a combination of things went on. Are we talking defense now?
Yeah, let's talk defense.
All right, so we're talking defense. I think that you've got a combination of things. You've got a offense that was clicking on all cylinders, and you've got that. The announcers like to call it tempo, but it's actually up tempo. There was an up. You know, they're running this rapid up tempo paced offense, and our guys who are, you know, a lot of young players, young cornerbacks. We weren't ready for it, guys. We were not ready.
We were not.
I don't know if we tried to duplicate it in practice. I think it really hurt playing that in the first game. If you had seen Texas A&M run that thing, maybe a little bit over the course of the season, I know they would have had last year's game tape and all, but, you know, a new quarterback, everything. I mean, we were not ready. We were completely shell shocked by the pace and the scheme that they were running.
And it did not help any that quarterback for them, whose name I don't want to remember.
Right.
I do. Now that I just said that, it just popped in my head, but I'm not going to say it. He was on fire. He was like Tannehill versus Mississippi State on fire. He could not miss.
Now, see, he was the entire key to the football game for them, as a quarterback often is, but he – nobody expected that out of him.
No, nobody.
And when he started throwing the ball the way he did, and when he was calm, cool, and collected, it created this perfect storm of the Texas A&M offensive scheme combined with our new cornerbacks, new defensive ends, against an offense that's predicated on moving fast, getting the ball out quickly.
Establishing a rhythm.
We thought we'd get pressure on him, get him rattled in his first career start, and it just did not happen. And their wide receivers, that's the best group of wide receivers we'll see all year. It may be the best group of wide receivers we've seen in several years.
How many times did the wide receivers catch the ball about 5 yards short of the first down and make the first down, make a couple guys miss or run through somebody? How many times? I mean, it was unbelievable.
How many times did they throw that same swing pass, that screen, that wide receiver screen thing? And how many times did it go for 8 yards?
They blocked it perfectly. We did not have enough men over there to properly defend that play. There was one play, the 84 for them, who caught like 15 passes for 137 yards. He ran around and made us look like the Keystone Cops. I mean, we had him surrounded about 5 yards from the first down marker, and he just ran around until we fell all over ourselves, and he got the first down. Tackling was awful. Lots of holes in the secondary.
I can't believe that we've made it this far already in. What are we, 10 minutes in, and we haven't said the word tackling yet?
Right, yeah. The tackling was bad.
Yeah, it was real bad. It started early. We had them stopped on the first drive. If Holloman could tackle Hill on he was scrambling, and he just whiffed on him over there.
Holloman had a rough night.
Well, that was a third down when they threw the pass to the tight end that was short of the first down, and I think Holloman again who hit him, knocked him back, and then he just kept going for another 10 yards.
I'm thinking about Bryson Allen Williams who whiffed. But, I mean, he whiffed on the sidelines.
Yeah, Bryson Allen, that was a play. He took a terrible angle. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah, it's just a nightmare. I mean, and you knew every time – He went back and he had time. I mean, he was going to complete the pass. I mean, he didn't miss a thing. I think they had a couple of drops But otherwise, it was just a flawless performance. And I mean, our guys weren't even close to them. I mean, a couple of those touchdown catches I had.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not even a defensive back in the area code.
Well, I think it was one of the first five plays of the game when Hill missed Ricky Seals-Jones, who was wide open. And when they showed the replay, I noticed he was lined up against Sherrod Golightly.
Right.
That was the first moment in the game where I thought, oh, boy, we got some matchup problems here.
Right.
If you got Golightly up against any of their wide receivers, we're in trouble.
Well, that's the scheme. I mean, they're running this thing. What they do is they turn your safeties into cornerbacks, and in that case, your whatever he is into a cornerback.
What is he called? Right. Is it a spur?
He's a spur.
A bob?
But he was the bob? He was covering the widest guy there. He was all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the beauty of that scheme, you know. And I mean, yeah, obviously we've stopped other teams from running it in the past, but we've never seen it run to that level of effectiveness. Never. Not with those athletes that they had. And that all, and let's give some credit too to their offensive line. Their offensive line was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we don't have much up front on the DN. We know that. I mean, granted, that's going to be a problem all year. But those guys were just like a wall. I mean, there was nothing coming through.
So, T-Bone, we saw step one to get the defense fixed. What are
step one?
Step two through 30.
Well, step one, just in case anyone's taking notes, whammy. step one would be to put Bryson Williams back in his spot and let him be the captain back there. I think the other step is to go to 4-2-5. I know everybody says it doesn't matter what the scheme is. You got to play fundamentals and everything. That's a given. It's a given. But I go back to a 4-2-5. I would, on the D-line, I would number five, who is a good athlete.
Right.
But I think he needs to be a situational player. Yeah. I think he needs to be a third down guy. I think I would look at a Deion Green or Kelsey Griffin at that other defensive end spot.
Yeah.
Keep 44 on the opposite side. Play two defensive tackles and just try to play honest there. You know,
right.
And then with your two linebackers, heck, we got eight linebackers that can play. Go with a hot hand.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's not rocket science. There's people a heck of a lot smarter than me, really involved. But just watching it, I think you got to do something like that this next game.
Right. Well, let's take a look at the offensive side of the ball. We did score 28 points. We probably should have scored more. A lot of the blame on the internet came down on Dylan Thompson, and he came out pretty jacked up. He was throwing high and hard, and if you guys ever had a chance to watch Brett Favre play, Brett Favre's first series was always like that, especially when it was the playoffs. I mean, he would come out and just wild as he could be and then settle down, and I think you know, the nerves, first game jitters just got the best of Thompson early on. He still threw for 366 yards. I think he's 20 out of 40.
Four
touchdowns. Should have had five if Nick Jones had held on to the ball before the half.
Yep.
Had a few drops along the way. You know, I'm not absolving Thompson of responsibility here. He by no means played a perfect game. He made some bad throws and some bad decisions, including the one interception that he threw. But, my gosh, it is not time to turn to Connor Mitch, folks.
No, it's not. It is. You can be upset with Dylan a little bit because, if you're playing a team that's clicking on all cylinders, you got to answer. And right. You can't really afford a slow start, a jittery start. But, you know, he ends up keeping us around longer than we probably should have been around. You know, going into the fourth quarter, we had the ball and a chance to pull within 10.
You can't put blame on Thompson. I mean, that performance, what you just described, is almost classic Dylan Thompson.
Right.
Okay? That is what he is. Okay? He's not going to complete 25 out of 28 for 220 yards. He's going to hit some bombs. He's going to overthrow some guys. I mean, he's going to make some mistakes. if you look at his history in the games he played, that's very typical of the way he played.
But he threw one pretty ball, man, for a touchdown. Hit the guy right in stride. You know, he threw some pretty balls in amongst the things.
Oh, he throws a beautiful ball. Right. I mean, yeah. But he also can be wild. I mean, that's who he is. I mean, he's a gunslinger, and that's where he's going to be all year. And everybody, if you didn't know that, then I don't know, you know, what you're expecting. You know, that's what the guy is. And you know, there's going to be spectacular moments, and there's going to be some not so spectacular moments from him.
The interesting thing to me is that it's not personnel based. It's that from a game plan standpoint, we get in there and they're obviously clicking, and it seems like our coaching staff knew, okay, we're not going to stop them all night.
They knew.
And they made the choice early to just start slinging it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't run it either, though. Well, I mean,
that's the thing. We didn't try very much. We didn't try very much. I don't know how many attempts we had running. But the other thing we didn't do is we didn't send four guys deep and let Dylan scramble. You know, we didn't sustain any drives. And I'm not saying that was what lost us the ball game, but it's at least interesting to think about how we maybe would have handled that last year differently.
Well, here's the thing with Steve Spurrier. He's not going to stick to the game plan when he sees the other team moving the ball and scoring the way Texas A&M was. He is not a patient man.
You're right.
He is not going to say, "Hey guys, let's stick to the plan. Let's run the ball on first down, maybe second down." And he's like, "Hell, we ain't going to stop them. We need to throw the ball all night long. Let's go, open it up." So that's Steve Spurrier football.
The way you beat teams like that. Let's just think about examples from our recent past. I mean, Clemson runs a similar offense. Last few years, we beat them by what? Controlling the football.
That's what right? I'm saying. That's keep what
away.
I'm saying.
We played keep away. Think about Oregon and Stanford. Oregon runs that offense, blows people away. Last 2 years, what's happened? Stanford hits them in the mouth the whole game long and beats them by holding the football, controlling the game, and frustrating them. That's the way you beat a team like Texas A&M.
Absolutely.
And we couldn't do it.
And you don't let that offense get into rhythm. You don't let them start clicking like that. And the problem is right now on defense, for whatever reason, we couldn't disrupt, you know, a toddler's rhythm as it reaches for its rattle. We just couldn't do it. We don't have it in us.
You know, we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast. To execute the kind of game plan that you're talking about, the ball control, the keep away, having Connor Shaw was a luxury. Having Bruce Ellington was a luxury. Having Mike Davis is a luxury. And I talked about this a little bit in my blog post. I'm really frustrated with this Mike Davis situation because he's starting to feel kind of injury prone here, and we've lost him. For all intents and purposes, we've lost him for the first game. We're going to lose him for this Saturday, more than likely, and who knows how much more. And for all this talk of our great stable of running backs, Brandon Wildes is serviceable. He's a good number two running back. He's a good guy to come in and spell the number one guy. Sean Carson he's not good, okay? David Williams, we don't know what we have. So let's stop talking about all this great running back depth we have, because we got Mike Davis, and if we don't have Mike Davis out there, we don't know what we got, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I love Brandon Wildes just because I love how hard-nosed he plays. He was one of the few guys out there the other night that looked like he belonged physically on the field.
Right.
You know, with the other team. And you know, so I love him for that, but good Lord, you know, that's no deep stable of running backs. I saw somebody on Twitter the other day said, Georgia's got a great set of running backs, so do we. We're not in the same universe with what they have, and we need to quit telling ourselves that.
Right. Yeah, and then Shaq Rowland's another one.
Who?
About the third quarter, they put the camera on him for some unknown reason. Maybe we were throwing the ball. I'm like, hey, where's that guy been all game?
Right.
Well, they made a plan to take him out of the game. They had two guys.
It worked.
They had two guys on him all night long. I don't. I, you know, they game plan to take him out of the ball game. I'm pretty confident that was the plan. And but Demir Byrd, you know, where is it? Maybe they were taking reps away, trying to ease him back in with the knee. I don't know, but that guy needs to be on the field.
Demir Byrd, I saw something on the internet today. I think he only played like 17 plays the entire game.
That's right.
Which maybe you're right. Maybe that's his injury situation and just taking it easy, getting him back on the field. But you're right. He's a guy that needs to be on the field. Special teams, I put down to talk about special teams. You know, kicking was fine. Elliott Fry missed a long field goal. You know, they only punted to us twice. I guess our punting was fine. I don't know. The only thing I really noticed about special teams is and I don't want to make this a bash Sean Carson segment, but
because he's a good-looking cat.
Why is he still returning kicks for us?
I don't think we have anybody else. I mean,
is that possible?
I got another solution for you. This is the other stupid, simplistic solution. Your two guys that are back there, the one that plays a little bit up needs to be Brandon Wiles. The other one needs to be Demir Byrd. Just quit trying to do anything else.
Call coach and tell him that. I don't
know.
I'm gonna.
I hope he's listening.
I mean, you know.
He's like, oh, yeah, man, that'll work. I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Last year we had Bruce Ellington. Bruce Ellington is returning kickoffs for the friggin' 49ers. Why could he not return kicks last year? And I guess he did a little bit, but it was mostly Carson.
And I guess they're thinking Pharaoh's getting overworked. But, you know, if freaking Todd Gurley can do it.
Maybe. I don't know. I just don't understand because he takes the ball and he runs.
He's like a magnet.
He's like a magnet. Yep. He runs into the first guy down. And
he's not making anybody totally frustrating. Miss. Nobody's, not doing that. He's a straight ahead guy. That's it. He's going to get as much as he can get before the first guy gets there, and then he's going down.
Yeah. Well, ugly, ugly freaking game. And I don't know what.
Hey, you know what, though? One thing I want to say about that.
Yeah.
We've won 18 straight at home. Let me start out by saying that it was awful. It was ugly. It was embarrassing. It was terrible. I hated every minute of it.
All those things.
And we played like crap.
Yes.
But we've won 18 games in a row at home. You know, we were sort of due for a butt kicking. I could just almost feel it coming. So, I mean, it's, you know, just sometimes get the butt kicked. That's what happens.
You know, I agree with you. I picked us to lose.
Yep. You know? You did.
But losing like that scares me. Not about that game, because to be honest with you, a West opponent, we could kind of lose to them. That's kind of okay. Beat Georgia, it'll take care of itself. But how we lost makes me – I mean, I'm looking at my – what did I say? 9-3, 8-4? I don't remember. Who are we – what eight teams on our schedule are we better than?
I'm looking at 8-4, 7-5 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's give out some Rubber Chicken Awards. I really don't know I don't know where you guys are going to go with this. I'll let you go first, and I'll pick somebody. So, G-Man, go first.
Kenny Hill.
Kenny. I
had to say his name.
You guys just – y'all play by no rules whatsoever when it comes to the Rubber Chicken Awards. It's like now you're picking somebody from the other team. All right.
I'll do you one better.
Let me give you my – I'll give you my Gamecock Award. If I had to give one, I would give a co-Rubber Chicken Award to the tight ends because I thought those guys played with some heart.
They did.
But that would be my MVP would be the tight ends.
Jarrell Adams and Busta Anderson. All right.
That's right.
T-Bone.
So G-Man picks somebody on the other team. I'm going to pick somebody that wouldn't even in a stadium. Todd Gurley. Gets my Rubber Chicken Award. If it wasn't for Todd Gurley, I wouldn't have even answered your call tonight. Okay.
So why does Todd Gurley get the award? Just because of the game he played on Saturday?
Because of the game he played. He deserves it, man. Guy needs some. He's going to need some trophies, I think. Nobody else is going to recognize what he's doing.
Is Todd Gurley his name?
I don't know. The second?
Todd Gurley, does he have a middle name?
Oh, I don't know. Todd Cornelius Gurley II.
Yeah. That's what everybody's been waiting for. So
I should have picked a better time for it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Nick Jones, 5 catches, 113 yards, a couple little of touchdowns. Nick. Little Nicky Jones gets Bucks Rubber Chicken Award. So, other games we paid attention to over the weekend, Thursday night, Ole Miss hammered Boise, and then Vandy. Man, you think we had a bad night. Got beat by Temple by 30. I still don't know what to think of that.
Yeah, and their only touchdown, I think, was on a botched punt by Temple.
It was. It absolutely was. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So rough night for
– get those guys soon? I mean, we get to play them soon, right?
It's in September, isn't it? Don't we play them September? Fourth game? Maybe we play them after Georgia?
Yeah, we need that one.
I don't know. I'm trying to try not to look too far ahead on the schedule at this point. Georgia-Clemson on Saturday. Clemson falls by the same margin that we do, but I haven't gotten too excited. I mean, that game was 24-21 with, I don't know, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So I'm not as excited as everybody else about how wonderful Georgia is or how terrible Clemson is. That game was a dead heat until the last 10 minutes. So just not real excited either way.
T-Bone, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get excited either way about that. I mean, as bad as we look, that in the grand scheme of things, in the playoff selection committee level of analysis, what we did and what Clemson did, it didn't matter. That was all a wash. But what matters is the guy that services your copier. You know, the guy that delivers the Dasani water bottles, those two Clemson grads you have to see every day.
Right.
You know, those guys, the copier guy, it helps a lot there.
Hey, Billy, I'm out of toner. You think you could get over today? Talk some football with him.
It helps a lot in the kind of local collegiate politics of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it did make me sick watching Georgia's running backs and Georgia's defense certainly turned it up a notch, but kind of like I wrote in my blog post, it's like, well, was Georgia's defense really that good? Or maybe is Clemson's offense not nearly as good as it was last year? And look, this happens to somebody every year, and we were talking about it. We're like, oh, man, you know, our defense might be better this year without Clowney. And not just as good. It might be better without Clowney. Well, it's not without Clowney, without Sutton, without Quarles.
The cornerback.
Without Victor Hampton. And Clemson, you know, no Sammy Watkins, no Taj Boyd, whoever their leading returning rusher was, is gone.
That was that little guy, Hot Rod.
So, our offense might even be better. Well, no, it's not.
It's not at all. And the other thing is your million-dollar boy offensive coordinator does not have a play to run from inside his own 15.
Yeah.
I mean, he just does not.
He can always throw that that bubble screen to Adam Humphries.
That is money.
Yeah, Adam Humphries. Yeah, I saw something where in the paper, because I guess they do these features on Clemson and the paper down here, and they'll talk about where they're from. And for some reason, they always say Adam Humphries from Dorman. And I think he caught his 100th pass in that game.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of them are the bubble screen.
Right.
I'm going to guess
he's 75. Got 100. Right. 100 pass catches for 125 yards.
For a 1.25 yards per catch average.
Which has got to be a record.
Other games, Auburn. I tell you, Arkansas really hung with Auburn a lot longer than I thought they would. Auburn's talent just kind of took over. That's another offense that I'm not real excited about having to face later on this year. Bama struggled with West Virginia much more than anybody thought they would, but they got the win. LSU. I went to bed on LSU.
Yeah,
I went to sleep. Wisconsin was up by a couple of scores, and I wake up the next morning. The thing that stood out to me is, and also to T-Bone, who is the president of the Tanner McAvoy fan club. What was he? He was 5 for 15 for 50 yards and 2 or 3 interceptions. I don't.
I think he rushed for 20-something yards.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how he beat out Stavi, the other guy who started the bowl game against us last year.
Because Stavi sucks.
He's a cigar store Indian back there. He can't. But here's the thing I was going to say. I don't understand. I guess the difference is throwing passes against Arizona Western's competition and throwing passes against LSU. But how does a guy – I mean, didn't McAvoy average like 400 yards a game passing at Arizona Western? I mean, he's got to have a decent arm on him, right? And they just didn't give him much of a chance to –
The story here, if we can stop talking about whiskey for a minute, is that SEC West. I mean, just throw a sheet over all those guys. That is going to be a heck of a race. And if we can stay out of the self-pitying doldrums ourselves and enjoy that other race,
yeah,
it's going to be fun to watch. There's some good teams over there.
Oh, there's going to be some really fun games to watch over there. All the, Texas A&M, Auburn.
Right. So do we –
Auburn, LSU.
I'll ask both of you this question. Do we now pull for TAMU the rest of the way, or do we hope they get shellacked every time they play?
I don't know.
Pull for them. I think you got to pull for them.
I'm not at the point where I've decided that yet. I'm still licking my wounds. Other SEC games, I don't think we can really take anything from these. Kentucky hammered Tennessee Martin. Missouri beat South Dakota State. Mississippi State beat Southern Miss. And then Tennessee over Utah State last night. It was a little discouraging to see them play as well as they did, but I don't think Utah State has got much. Then Tennessee played 21 freshmen last night, so I am afraid they're on the way back to being relevant in the SEC East, which we really don't need another team to be relevant in the SEC East. And then Florida got rained out, basically. East Carolina, our upcoming opponent, beat North Carolina Central. I no idea what to expect. I know they will be the chic pick this week. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be picking East Carolina to beat us.
I'm not a gambling guy, but I do follow these lines just to try to figure out what the trend is. And the line is skyrocketing. The money is on us.
Yeah, it was 15 and a half. I think it opened at like 15 and a half.
Right.
So I don't understand what anybody saw last weekend to make them think we could beat a team like that by 15 and a half. But I don't know. I think we win the game. I think we'll play a lot better. I think our guys will be a lot more focused, and I do think we win. But I thought we were going to beat Texas A&M too. So we'll see what happens.
I hope that we are going to run more plays than they do.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Right. God, we had 99 plays run on us. Obscene. Gamecocks in the NFL. Moving on to some former Gamecocks. Bad day. Actually, a bad week for Gamecocks. Connor Shaw, Kelsey Quarles, Victor Hampton, Jimmy Legree, Travion Robertson, Ryan Suckup, and Chaz Sutton all got cut last week. I mean, that's a...
Yeah, but some of those guys have resurfaced since then.
So Shaw's on a practice squad, Quarles practice squad, Legree practice squad, Robertson practice squad, Ryan Suckup got picked up by the Titans. As far as I know, Victor Hampton and Chaz Sutton are still – well, maybe Sutton got picked up. I may have read that like right before we came on the air. I don't remember. Sutton may have been picked up. Victor Hampton is the one that really bothers me, though. I mean, I feel bad for that guy. I mean, he obviously got some terrible advice to come out early. Terrible advice, and that incident in New York didn't help his case either.
Yeah, and I don't know whether he came out early or he had exhausted his eligibility, and I don't mean by years.
Like they didn't want him back?
I don't think he was coming back.
Right.
Yeah, but it still sucks when you see these guys that have eligibility remaining go out there and not make it.
Yeah.
Tory Gurley.
Although he hung around for a while.
He's never played, though.
I know.
Yeah. And Connor Shaw, folks, what I've learned is there are – not that I understand all the intricacies of NFL rosters – I said from the beginning, Connor Shaw was not going to make the Browns roster. Everybody thought, oh boy, this is a great fit because he's just like Johnny Manziel and they're going to want to back up just like Johnny Manziel. They were never keeping two rookie quarterbacks on that roster. Never, ever, ever, ever. And, you know, somebody pointed out to me, well, the Redskins kept two rookies a couple of years ago in RG3 and what's his
Cousins.
Name? Cousins, Kirk Cousins. Well, Kirk Cousins was a third-round draft pick. If you're a third-round draft pick, you're almost – no matter – I mean, you can go out there and they're almost guaranteed to keep you if you're drafted in the first three rounds. You really have to screw up to get cut if you're – if they use a third-round draft pick on you. But, you know, Shaw's just going to have to – going to have to make it the hard way, and he needs to look no further than Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer was a undrafted free agent quarterback too. So hopefully Shaw will be able to stick around there, and if he doesn't make it with the Browns, somebody else will give him a shot. But it's going to be a long road before he ever sees a snap in the NFL, if ever. And I really hope he gets a shot and hope he does. So what else is going on out there? Nothing. You guys don't have anything.
I mean, I got
nothing.
I guess it's kind of hard to get excited about football, frankly, when you get killed like that. So, I mean, I'm not having my best podcast. Just let you know.
Well, it's a low bar, so
it is.
I tell you, we got tons of responses when I asked for questions for the podcast. I think about 80% of them were just smart-ass questions. John Michael Gunnels. What's going to happen the rest of the season? All of his preconceived notions are gone, and he just needs a hug. So we're not going to be able to give you a hug, and I don't know that we have an answer for what's going to happen the rest of this season. It's going to be interesting to watch. Be Click Clack Brandy, our friend, says, how many yards will Dave Williams get on Saturday? I'm going to say like 35. I think he's gonna get some carries. He'll get a few yards on Saturday.
I'm gonna say 20.
G-Man David Williams, how many yards do you think he's gonna get?
50.
Hey, that'd be good.
Connor Tapp says, on a scale of 1 to Jennifer Lawrence nudes, how much do y'all love the hurry up no huddle offense? I guess the Jennifer Lawrence nudes is like a 10. I guess is what he's saying. I don't know. G-Man hates the hurry up no huddle.
I hate it.
Hates it. But I'm telling you, everybody's going there.
It's like a video game.
Yeah.
You know?
It's basketball.
It is. I mean, to me, it's just no fun watching people scramble around trying to line up. They're waving their arms and they're looking at the coaches and the officials can't even keep up. And I mean, it's not football to me. But anyway.
Get off my lawn.
your
fancy video games.
Your fancy Instagrams.
Your tweet books.
Your Facebooks and your tweet pages.
I think you know what I mean, though. Don't you?
I do. I like it. I think it's fun. But I mean, hey, I'm a Mike Leach guy. Mike Leach he doesn't run the hurry up no huddle, but he's been an innovator. I like these innovative, you know, non-pro style offenses.
I tell you who can coach is Gundy. Yeah. That guy can coach.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of that game, and man, I was impressed by them. I mean, they lost everybody.
Yeah.
And they almost beat Florida State. Their quarterback, that cat can play. His name is J.W. Walsh or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed by them.
He's a little dude, too. Rickson Lane at Fast Lane Sports says, Patrick Fish, great place kick holder or the greatest place kick holder? I was trying to think. I don't think I can name another holder. Maybe Tommy Beecher maybe was a holder for a while.
Maybe we should have given a rubber chicken to him because this probably would have been his only chance.
Seth Strickland did it for a while.
Seth Strickland. That's a good call. He did it for a long time. So, I'd say Fish and Strickland, probably the top two. Beat Clem says, why do our cornerbacks play 15 yards off the ball? And I'd say I'm not as worried about the cornerbacks playing 15 yards off the ball is – is them dropping 15 yards when the ball is snapped. So they wind up like 30 yards off the line of scrimmage. But I don't know. I don't.
You know why? You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because they're 18 years old. They've never played in a college football game before. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
They can't match up. Yeah.
Don't want to get bit deep.
Not yet.
Can we run the ball in only one formation, shotgun draw? Yeah, I kind of thought we were going to see some, maybe a little I formation. Didn't see any Thursday night, that's for sure.
No, our O-line did a decent job pass blocking other than a couple of really glaring issues at the right guard position.
Yeah, yeah.
They can pass block, but run blocking, I still ain't seen it.
Yeah. Beat Clem also says, if train A leaves a station going 50 miles per hour and train B leaves a station going 60 miles per hour, why is Todd Gurley so good?
And the answer to that is we don't know because somebody just got trucked.
Right. The greatest thing, and watch that kickoff return all the way to when he like runs all the way through the end zone. The Clemson guy catches him. Like at the goal line and jumps on his back. Still about 2 yards deep. Right. Yep. He sheds him like a cape. I mean, the guy just falls off of him.
I got a question though, and I sent you guys a text on this. He reminds me of George Rodgers. You guys see that?
Yeah, yeah.
His running style,
right?
His size.
Yeah,
he's about 6'2", 225. That's what George was. Kind of runs upright. I think he doesn't remind me of like Bo or Herschel.
No, he's different.
Yeah, to me, it looks like Rodgers. I don't know.
Gamecockology says, does the I and I formation stand for illegal? And yeah, we talked about that a minute. Maybe it does.
That's pretty good.
Maybe somebody on the coaching staff believes that's a formation that would get us flagged. I don't know.
Right.
Chuck Winter. At Chuck_Winter4 says, is Sean Carson really our best option at kick returner? Yeah, that's
and the answer is apparently yes.
Apparently so. DC
or I mean, can I comment on that?
Yeah, yeah.
You remember the one play though? I have to say, that Sean did get dissed one time. They kicked it in Sidney Rhodes. Backed up and took it out of Sean's hand. and Sean's running up to catch it with momentum, and Sidney runs backwards.
Yeah, Sidney's just sick of watching Sean Carson return him as we are.
I did. I think I tweeted after that that will be remembered as the best kickoff return of the season for the Gamecocks. DC3 at DC3_tweets. Who's better at returning kicks, Sean Carson or a newborn horse?
That's not a fair analogy because, you know, Sean Carson isn't covered in slime. If he was, maybe he could get away from somebody.
He'd slip some tackles, so to speak. DC3 tweets, ask another, do some of these dudes from American Ninja Warrior have some eligibility? At least they can hang on to stuff.
Man, what do we call them? Female professional ninja people? I'm not sure what we call them.
I think they're American Ninja Warriors, too.
They're amazing.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but anyway.
Ask your kids.
He doesn't have time to watch TV.
Ask your kids, Grandpa.
He doesn't have time to watch TV or run a hurry-up, no-huddle offense. Give me the I formation or give me death.
Wishbone, baby.
The wing T.
What's a wishbone?
All right. Well, that's going to do it for TRC Unleashed, episode number 68. Anything else, guys? Any more depression you can...
Hey guys, we need.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we need everybody to show up and help out on Saturday because the unthinkable could get thunk.
If
we don't think it, then it won't happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it. The good news is it has now been 2,103 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football, so we got that going for us. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, and we will talk to you next week.
In the end, and you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
the hell away from me, you hear?
I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. If I could start again, a million times.